Tonight we're going to continue our little study in the church entitled Isn't She Beautiful? And basically what we're doing in this study is looking at the bride of Christ and reminding ourselves why it is that the church is worth giving our whole selves to. As you remember, when I first began this series a while back, there had come a point in my life where I thought about walking away from the church because I'd seen the hypocrisy of the church and the general lack of concern for gospel-centered ministry, at least that I thought. And so, as a result, I became very discouraged and very darkened toward the ministry of the church. And yet, the Lord got a hold of my life one morning in my quiet time and said, "Jared, how can you complain about something that you're not willing to try and fix yourself? And remember that it's impossible for you to love me and not love my bride. So don't get discouraged. Don't get overwhelmed. Go fight for the church. Go fight for the bride of Christ. Remind the people in the church why it is that the church is worth giving our life to and why it's worth pursuing on a daily basis." And so that's what we've been doing over the study, reminding ourselves who we are and the purpose of the church as a collection of people joined together to pursue the gospel of Jesus Christ and the overcoming of every effect of sin and darkness upon the earth with the glorious revelation of the work of Christ. That's worth giving your life to. That's worth getting excited about. And it's worth speaking about as the church. And so we're asking this question, what does it mean to be the church? The gospel has transformed us. It has redeemed us. It has called us into a specific community for a specific purpose. We are now a unique people transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ for a unique purpose, to put on display the gospel of Jesus Christ, both in action and in proclamation. The gospel is the focus of who we are and what we do. And the key thing that I want to focus on tonight is this. As the church, we are to remember the ministry of Jesus. We are to remember the ministry of Jesus. And the way that we as the church remember the ministry of Jesus is through what we call the ordinances. A mark of every Christian church is the presence of the ordinances of the church. And these are things that Jesus Christ himself ordained, proclaimed as practice for the body of believers who are transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The two that we practice as a Christian church today are baptism and the Lord's Supper. We remember the ministry of Jesus through the ordinances that he has given to us to be obedient and following through with. And the two that we're going to talk about tonight that we as the Christian church have been given and commanded to follow or baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the Lord, if you look throughout Scripture, guys, the Lord is very concerned with his people and remembering his works. If you read the Bible from Genesis to the end of the Bible and Revelation, you will see the Lord reminding people time and time again to remember the works of the Lord. You see some Old Testament examples here. The fact that there were Old Testament feasts, these feasts in the Old Testament, they were to remember the actions of the Lord. The Feast of Unleavened Bread established in Exodus 13, 3 through 10. And the Lord proclaims that the reason for the Feast of Unleavened Bread is this: it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Every year you are going to practice the Feast of Unleavened Bread to remember the might of the Lord in bringing you out of Egypt. Later, in Deuteronomy 11, we see commands to the elders of Israel to train up future generations, remembering the works of the Lord. Part of the responsibility of the leaders of Israel was to teach generations after them of the Lord's faithful work. You can see this outline in Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 21, where the Lord says, lay up these words in your heart and your soul, bind them on your hands, put them on your doorpost when you're awake, as soon as you get up in the morning, at lunch, at night, every part of the day, proclaim the faithfulness of God so that generations to come do not forget where you came from and how the Lord worked mightily to bring you to where you are. The Sabbath day itself was brought about so that you and I would take a moment from our busyness, sit back and reflect upon the faithfulness of God. Look when the Lord establishes the Sabbath day in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 to 15. Here's what the Bible says. Observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well with you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Look at the purpose of the Sabbath day in verse 15. You shall remember. Remember what God has done in your life. Continuously throughout the Old Testament, the Lord calls us to remembrance. And why? Because he knows how easily we forget. We are not like our friends, the elephants. We forget. That's why we do things like scrapbooking. Right? Or create a yearbook in high school. Even though for some of us, we really want to forget what we looked like in high school. We have these memories of things that occurred during those times, because as life progresses, you forget about all of the stuff that happened. We forget little things. The other day, on Sunday, I was able to go and do an ordination service for a guy who was in my student ministry for a long time. His name's Ben Day. Some of you know him. It's a really incredible thing to see him kind of come full circle. And on my way home, my friend Matt was riding back with me because he had to fly out of Houston. And so we were riding together, and I had Elfie in my car as well. So I had a lot of stuff going on. And I was pumping gas and I had to run inside and get a drink. And he was getting food for us because it was late at night. And I come back out, jump in my car because he's getting food. So I had to go pick him up and I had to get Elfie situated. And I pull off, forgetting to take the nozzle out of the car and put it back in the gas tank. Luckily, it already kind of cut off, and this particular place had like a disconnect valve so that the thing came with me as it came out. And so I had to have the unfortunate conversation with the ladies working the night shift at the Loves off I-10 outside of Baton Rouge. Hey, I'm really an idiot because I forgot to take the nozzle out of my car, and it is disconnected. It's with me. I'm going to go put it back in the gas tank, but somebody's got to come reconnect the hose, right? I've been driving for 14 years. I have never once done that, but congratulations, I did it. Why? I got distracted. I got distracted, I got busy, and I just forgot, right? And that's a small thing. And even with big, big things, we allow things to kind of happen around us, and we forget. We receive blessing, and instead of remembering where that blessing came from, oftentimes it leads to apathy rather than devotion. If we do not remember where it came from, if we don't remember what God has done for us, and how the blessing that we have received is a privilege, not a right, then we'll become spoiled people in the church, becoming entitled to what God has given us instead of reverently giving thanks to how the Lord has worked in and through us. I mean, the early church is a clear example. The church is being established. Great things are happening. The Lord has ascended. The Holy Spirit has fallen. And within the first few chapters of the church, you have two people, Ananias and Sapphira, looking now to the church, not with gratitude, but for a way to make themselves celebrities. They give money, but they give money in only part to receive the favor of men, not the favor of God. You see, in a very short amount of time, people in the church begin to forget what God had done to form the church, how he'd sacrificed his son. And they looked at the church as a way to glorify themselves, not as a way to glorify the Lord. This reminds me of a statement in the new Batman movie, for some of you who have seen it, where Bane is beating up the Dark Knight pretty heavily. And he says that victory has defeated you. How Batman had so much success that he quit fighting with the same type of intensity. And now here comes Bane, swolt up dude, and breaks the guy's back. If you haven't seen it already, you're not a fan, so get over it. All right? Don't be coming up to me and say, Jared, you give away the plot. Okay, really? All right, so anyway, you get my point, though. The same thing is true in the life of the church. That there comes a point where you and I receive so much blessing and you and I have so much that we quit fighting for the church because we are entitled for it. All the victory that we have experienced, we think is commonplace, and it's not. People have walked very hard roads before you to get to where you are today. And in the world right now, there are plenty of places where this does not happen. You and I are privileged. Yes, we have received incredible blessing. Yes, but we must be careful to remember the source of that blessing and not take it for granted. We did not earn this blessing. We are recipients of it, yes. But may we be careful to remember. So, we must remember, as the early Israelite people and the early church had to as well. One of the major functions of the Christian church in the ordinances, one of the hallmarks, is remembering through the ordinances. Certainly, we remember in the teaching of the Word of God, but there's something special and unique when you and I participate in the ordinances that the Lord put forth. And the first one of these, as we said earlier, is the Lord's Supper. And you can look at Paul discussing the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's what he writes. For I received from the Lord, and I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper helps us remember the beauty of the death of Jesus. The beauty of the death of Jesus. It's an incredibly violent death, but one that gives us incredible hope. Because as Stephen was saying earlier, on him was placed every single sin that you and I have ever created. And every single person that has ever accepted Christ, that sin was placed upon him as well. Jesus took it fully. He became our wrath bearer, was forsaken by the Lord, having been beaten on his way to the cross. Incredible pain, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And yet, in that grim moment, in that grim picture, is our hope. And so every time that you and I take the Lord's Supper, we are remembering the fact that Jesus' blood was shed as a sacrifice for us, to reconnect us to the Lord and cover our sin. That his body was broken as punishment. So that now you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, can be free from condemnation. And it's important that we remember that because, as I said earlier, salvation can become happenstance to us. And we can sing these songs that contain glorious truth about the reality of Christ in us and not feel a thing. Because we're so separated from the thing that we were saved from, our sin. We forget to be grateful. We forget to be thankful in the busyness and distraction of our life. It's important for us to remember Christ's body broken for us. And in baptism, we see the glory of Christ's resurrection put on display for us to remember. Colossians 2, Paul discusses this. Beginning in verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Baptism is a statement of victory. You and I are no longer without hope or in darkness. The powers of this world no longer have control over us because they have been defeated in Christ. And now, because you and I have been baptized in the death of Christ and also been raised with him to walk in newness of life, the victory that Christ secured in his overcoming of every effect of the fall is now our victory to walk in. Baptism is a reminder every time we see it of what Christ has done inwardly in us. We were dead, but that old has passed away, and now we have been made new. And not just new, but victoriously new. It's an assurance that Christ's work, one that we must carefully, continuously remember, is a promise of ultimate victory. And the beauty of the ordinances is they do more than just remember. They also proclaim. In the ordinances, we see the fullness of the gospel put on display. Christ redeems his body broken for us, taking upon the wrath of God. He has called us from bondage to slavery, now to bondage to Christ. We see that displayed in the Lord's Supper. And beyond that, we see the hope that we have whenever we respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ in repentance, newness of life, and victory over sin. As the church, we gather in the name of Jesus to proclaim the rule of Jesus over all things and his glorious provision for us through the gospel. It's what we do. We gather to proclaim the rule of Jesus over all things and his glorious provision for us. And the ordinances help those of us already regenerated to remember our hope, and for those who are not regenerated to recognize our hope. So the challenge tonight, as we think about the ordinances and the need for the church to remember the work of God, is for you to not allow the blessing of God in your life to lead to apathy. God has done too much. He's been too faithful to us to live such impotent lives. May we walk in victory in the power of the gospel to do what the church has been called to do. So what I want to do tonight, in response to the need of remembering is to take the Lord's Supper. I want to remember the saving work of Christ in our lives. And so just where you are right now, just kind of bow your heads. Just get alone with the Lord as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. And think about the saving work of Christ in your life. Meditate on it. How has Christ blessed you? Certainly start with the cross. If you need to, get a piece of paper out, write it down. If you can think about it in your mind, focus, do it there. How has the Lord blessed you?